Bé, bon dia a tothom. Anem a començar la lectura d'aquesta tesi. Aquesta tesi, atès que serà una versió internacional del títol de doctor, es farà totalment en anglès, de fet està escrit en anglès, i les preguntes i respostes seran majoritàriament en anglès en funció de com el doctorand demani. Per tant, switch the language. Okay? So, good morning everybody. It's a pleasure for me to be here again. I would like to present this PhD thesis. The candidate is Daniel Blasco Frank, and the title of the thesis is Tourist Destination Zoning and Governance in Border Regions. Basically, this is how we're going to structure this event. You have 30 minutes, 45 minutes approximately to present your PhD. All the jury has already read the PhD, so basically the fundamentals of this speech is to understand the more difficult part, which is more interesting for us. And then secondly, once you have finished, the jury, if it's necessary, and usually it is necessary, will ask you some questions related of your work. So please go on.
Thank you very much. Moltíssimes gràcies. Moltes gràcies de debò a tothom que ha vingut, perquè hi ha moltíssima gent a la sala i això la veritat és que fa moltíssima il·lusió començar a fer aquesta defensa amb tantíssima gent que ha vingut a la sala. La veritat és que estic bastant emocionat i bueno, doncs tirarem endavant i farem aquesta defensa. Vull començar fent un parell d'aclariments. El primer de tots és que, com ja s'ha dit, l'idioma de la defensa i de la tesi és en anglès. Tot i així faré una petita introducció en català per a les persones de la sala que no coneguin tan bé l'idioma anglès. I per tant doncs, faré un breu resum d'un parell de... molt ràpidament. Després sí, passarem a l'anglès per la resta de la defensa. La segona cosa que haig de dir, també per començar, és que aquesta tesi ha estat presentada sota la modalitat de compendi per articles i per tant vol dir que s'han, en aquest cas concret que ens ocupa, s'han realitzat tres articles, dos dels quals doncs, han estat publicats o estan en vies de ser publicats i el tercer doncs, ha estat enviat. Per tant, aquest és el plantejament general que tothom ha de conèixer per entendre com funcionarà la presentació que continuarà ara. Ja entrant una miqueta en matèria de la qüestió que hem treballat en aquesta tesi, bàsicament aquesta tesi, per intentar-ho explicar molt ràpidament i que tothom se'n pugui fer una idea, la tesi parla de destinacions turístiques. És una tesi que parla sobre com les destinacions turístiques s'organitzen i específicament això com passa en zones de frontera. Aquests són els dos eixos principals que constitueixen aquesta tesi. Aleshores hi ha una sèrie d'elements acadèmics que hem treballat. El primer d'ells és la qüestió de la mobilitat dels turistes i dels patrons de consum que aquests turistes fan quan es troben en una destinació turística. Aquests patrons de consum normalment doncs, tenen una sèrie de dinàmiques que han estat abastament analitzats per la literatura. Per una altra banda, també coneixem i hem reconegut i hem identificat a través d'aquesta recerca que les destinacions turístiques en la majoria d'ocasions es circumscriuen en el que són les regions administratives. Aleshores, això segurament ens permet identificar una diferència entre el que és el consum turístic, per una banda, dels turistes, i la forma en què s'organitzen les destinacions des de la perspectiva de l'organització pròpiament administrativa d'aquestes destinacions. Finalment, havent identificat alguna destinació turística en un territori fronterer que pugui tenir un potencial de desenvolupament diferent a la situació actual, ens ha interessat molt conèixer com tenen lloc els processos d'emergència de la governança en aquestes destinacions turístiques transfrontereres. Per tant, aquestes són les tres grans qüestions que intenta abordar aquesta tesi. Tinc aquí apuntades tres preguntes de recerca que em permeto llegir literalment perquè així doncs, tothom pugui entendre perfectament quines són exactament les preguntes de recerca que hem intentat respondre. La primera pregunta de recerca és com s'estableixen els límits de les destinacions turístiques tenint en compte els patrons de consum i mobilitat dels turistes. Per respondre a aquesta pregunta hem desenvolupat una recerca en tres fronteres de Mèxic, com es veurà a continuació. La segona pregunta de recerca és, són més efectives les noves zones identificades en comparació amb les destinacions tradicionals? per abordar aquesta segona pregunta, hem fet un altre article que en aquest cas doncs, tracta sobre la zona o la regió, en el sentit més ampli, dels Pirineus. I finalment, la tercera pregunta de recerca és com emergeixen les estructures de governança en destinacions turístiques. Aquesta tercera pregunta de recerca també s'ha abordat en un tercer article, en aquest cas focalitzant molt la investigació en el cas de la Cerdanya com una nova destinació turística que acaba de sorgir i per tant que ens ha permès identificar quins són els factors que han permès que això hagi pogut passar. Els resultats, per tant, d'aquesta tesi intenten d'alguna forma complir dos grans elements. El primer seria definir una metodologia per poder identificar aquestes destinacions turístiques en zones frontereres i, en un segon nivell, conèixer quins són els factors que faciliten o dificulten els processos d'emergència de les destinacions turístiques a la frontera. Havent dit tot això, ara sí, passem a la llengua anglesa per la resta de la defensa. So, now we go for the English. The first thing is, of course, the index of the presentation. First of all, we will have a short review of the theoretical framework, the basis, the theoretical basis for this research. Then we will analyze very quickly as well the research questions for this thesis. Then we have three chapters, each one for each of the articles that constitute this compendium of articles of this thesis. The first one is the heritage tourism clusters in three borders in Mexico. The second one is tourism destination zoning in mountain regions, a consumer-based approach. And the third article is the emergence of governance in cross-border destinations. At the end of the presentation, we will wrap up a number of conclusions for the whole research. So, getting into the theoretical framework, as I just mentioned in Catalan, this thesis is about tourism destinations. But there is a number of theoretical or academic literature that we have been working with. The first aspect or the first pillar of the academic literature that we have used is the tourism consumption and mobility patterns. We acknowledge that there are a number of consumption patterns and mobility patterns that have been already analyzed by the literature. There is a number of patterns which have been already identified. Some of them are, for instance, the within destination, which is the one that we have worked with more in depth. And within this within destination pattern, we have specifically worked especially with the hub and spoke pattern. All of them have been already analyzed by the literature, as I just said. On the other side, we recognize that tourism destinations stick too much to the administrative regions. So there is little space for identification of new tourism zones, regardless of the administrative regions. So we identified a gap here between the tourism consumption patterns and the tourism potential for zoning and the eventual creation or emergence of new destinations. Finally, once we have identified these regions or areas or zones with potential for development in terms of tourism, we are very interested in analyzing what are the processes or the factors that hinder or foster the emergence of this of the governance in these tourism destinations. And all this, we have especially put the focus on cross-border regions to analyze these three aspects of the literature, because we are convinced that the cross-border areas have special attributes and characteristics that makes this analysis more interesting in our case. So moving into the research questions, and after saying this regarding the theoretical framework, the objectives of the research were or have been, first of all, to find the methodology to identify tourism zones with potential to develop tourism in cross-border regions. That was the first objective. And the second one has been to define these factors that hinder or foster tourism cross-border governance. The research questions have been then the three that you can see on the screen. The first one is, how could the limits of new tourism destinations be established, specifically and especially taking into account tourism consumption and mobility patterns in cross-border areas. The second research question is, to what extent are the new tourism zones more effective than administrative regions for tourism purposes? And the last research question is, how do governance structures emerge in the creation of new tourism cross-border destinations? We have developed three case studies giving answer to each of these three research questions. The first case study giving answer to the first research question is the article Heritage Tourism Cluster in Three Borders in Mexico. This is an article that will be published soon in the Journal of Heritage Tourism. Has been accepted already. The second article, titled Tourism Destination Zoning in Mountain Regions, a Consumer-Based Approach, will be published in April this month in Tourism Geographies. And the last research question, giving answer to the last, the last article giving answer to the third research question, is titled The Emergence of Governance in Cross-Border Destinations. This article has been sent to the journal Annals of Tourism Research without response yet. So we move already into the first article and the main conclusions for the first article that constitutes this compendium, the Heritage Tourism Cluster in Three Borders in Mexico. I just put a map here of Mexico just to focus a little bit what we have done. We have analyzed three borders in Mexico, specifically the ones between Chihuahua and Texas, New Mexico in the north, and two borders in the south, one between Guatemala and Chiapas region in Mexico, and the other one between Quintana Roo, again in Mexico, and Belize. One border in the north, two borders in the south. Regarding the methodology, what we did is to identify tourism zones or clusters based on distance between attractions. How did we do that? Well, we identified the main attractions on each border, and we run a cluster analysis for the calculation of smallest intra-cluster distances and highest or maximum inter-cluster distances in order to get robust clusters. We used distance as the factor to calculate these clusters, as we believe that tourists are very sensitive to distances between attractions in order to consume the territory. At the end of the article, we also moved one step forward, and we tried an exercise in the direction of the multiple destination consumption pattern in the form of the aggregation of clusters, developing a number of corridors in these cross-border regions. As a preliminary exercise in the line of the multiple destination travel pattern. Finally, we represented all these results in maps using geographical information systems softwares, which is again a contribution to work with cluster analysis and geographical information system softwares all together. And these are some of the results that we came out with regarding the clusters. We found that there is actually one very clear cross-border cluster in the Mexico, USA, or the Chihuahua, Texas, New Mexico border around the area of Ciudad Juárez, El Paso. There is one very clear cross-border cluster there, theoretically, of course. There is another very clear cross-border cluster in the Quintana Roo, Belize border, especially in the area of Chetumal. And actually another one in the area between Guatemala and Belize, which is the number 4 you can see on the screen on your right side. That's the one near the area of Tikal Caracol. There are no cross-border clusters in the border between Chiapas, Guatemala. All clusters in that border are within one of the borders, within one of the countries, sorry. So these are the results for the cluster analysis. And as I just said, we also attempted to do an exercise to delineate corridors in these borders. All corridors in all three borders were cross-border. Also the corridors in the Chiapas-Guatemala border. And we can conclude that there is a clear multi-destination potential in all borders, and especially in the Mexico-USA border and in the Chiapas-Guatemala border as well. So this was the results for the first exercise, the first article. We move now to the second article, which is tourism destination zoning in mountain regions, a consumer-based approach. I just remind the research question again, which is to what extent are the new tourism zones more effective than administrative regions for tourism purposes? To do this exercise, what we did was to focus on a mountain range, a natural border between France and Spain in Europe. There are actually three countries because there is also Andorra there, and it's worth to mention that there's lots of different administrative regions within each of the countries, regarding France and Spain, of course. So this, we can say this mountain is divided into a large number of different administrative regions. Following the same methodology that we used in the three borders in Mexico, we identified 9 tourism zones in these Pyrenees mountains, which are the ones you can see on the screen. And just a number of conclusions or ideas that I want to mention regarding this map are the following. 9 tourism zones that differ from current tourism destinations. All of them are cross-border, either inter-regional or international. They are actually more uniform in size than administrative regions. They are very similar to historical regions, for instance, in the case of Andorra and Cerdanya region, or in the case of the Basque country, or even in the case of the Oriental Pyrenees, which is what we could think of as of the northern Catalan country. So they are very similar to historical regions, at least some of the zones that we identified. And it is also important to mention that the right decision when we chose time distance as the relevant distance criterion in these maps. Let me just explain you one example here, which is the municipality of Valldeboí, which is exactly this one here. As you can see, it is very close to other clusters that are very close to this municipality. But when we did the cluster analysis, it fell into another zone, which is this one. And this is because between this municipality and the neighboring municipalities, there is a high mountain peaks. So that means that linear distance in this case is not as good to be used as time distance to connect this municipality with their neighbors. That's why, in terms of time distance, this municipality is closer to this other region. By the way, it's also its historical region again. Having said all this, we moved one step forward again, and we analyzed the results, trying to see if there were a possibility of doing a correlation analysis to compare the new tourism zones with the administrative regions. What we found, we used a number of variables that you can see on the screen regarding the attractions. We analyzed intensity, specificity, and variety of attractions in these different zones and in these administrative regions. We also calculated and we used number of borders within each of the tourism zones, in this case, not in the case of administrative regions, of course, because there's no borders inside the administrative regions. And we also calculated accommodation units in each of the zones and the administrative regions, and the population, again, in both. I will just show you the results, but before going to the results of that, we, at the end, again, used the cluster analysis again to classify the new tourism zones, the 9 different tourism zones, into different categories of tourism zones. We used ANOVA and ETA tests to ensure the significance of the variables in the categorization, as I will show you right away. This is the correlation table between the attributes and the tourism zones. As you can see, there is a number of correlations there, and also there, and also there, that I will just explain in this slide here. Intensity correlates with specificity, and that gives the idea that first-class attractions help in the development of second-class and other attractions. Also, the attractiveness, which is the mixture of intensity and specificity, correlates with accommodation units, giving the idea that first-class and second-class attractions also tend to help in the concentration of accommodation units nearby. And even more important for us, attractiveness correlates with the number of borders, which in fact gives the idea that the more borders you have in one zone, the more attractive it is, which makes probably a lot of sense if we think under the perspective of tourists' behavior. So we can conclude after this correlation analysis that our tourism zones are more effective than administrative regions, at least in our case. And as I said, what we did later on was to cluster again these 9 zones into categories of zones. This is the table that came out of this cluster analysis. There is a number of tourism zones in each of the categories of zones, and maybe better than this, you can see this map to understand what was the result. There is one tourism zone in the category 1. There is 2 different tourism zones in the second category, again 2 different zones in the third category, and 4 different zones in the last category. The first category, which is number 1, is the area of Andorra and Sardinia. The second category of zones are the zones in the Basque Country and the Oriental Pyrenees. And the third categories of zones are the ones in the Atlantic Pyrenees and the Aragon Pyrenees. And the rest are the fourth category. Maybe it is a little better to explain it with this slide here. Type 1, which is, as I said, Andorra and Sardinia region, is the most highly cross-border. It has the highest levels on intensity, specificity, and variety of attractions, and also in terms of the accommodation units. Type 2 category of zones, which had the zones of the Oriental Pyrenees and the Basque Country, is the most populated, probably because it's nearer the sea, and these are more populated zones. It has highest values in variety and medium values in the rest of the attributes that we used, like intensity, specificity, and accommodation units, and cross-border nature. Type 3 category is has medium levels on all the variables, and type 4 has the lowest levels in all the indicators. And so, once we have identified a number of tourism zones with potential for cross-border development, we were very interested in knowing what was the process that helped or difficulted to the emergence of these cross-border destinations, and specifically, what was the processes that led to a government in these cross-border destinations. We focused to do this in the Cerdanya Valley, Catalan Pyrenees cross-border region. This is a valley in the Pyrenees that is divided by several borders, as you can see in this map. For instance, it's divided between Spain and France, but within Spain, it's again divided in 2 different provinces. Within France, it's divided into different regions as well, all of them belonging to the Oriental Pyrenees, but still. And it's also worth to mention the Spanish enclave of Llivia inside the French border as a reminder of the negotiation processes that led it to the delineation of the border as we know it today after the Treaty of the Pyrenees in 1659, which I will not get in because I understand we don't have a lot of time for that, but just to mention that there's lots of borders in this cross-border valley. So we focused also in this area because we were aware of the potential for the development of the whole valley as one destination, and we indeed knew also that there were some slight or first attempts to go in this direction. For instance, a few years ago, the Spanish Cerdanya had issued a map, a tourism map, that was a cross-border map. It was one of the first examples, and that's why we approached to this area to analyze indeed what was going on. The methods to do this were different than the ones you have just seen until the moment. For the collection of data, we used semi-structured interviews, a number of 13 interviews, 7 in the Spanish side and 6 in the French side. and they included all categories of stakeholders, both public and private, and from both sides of the border. For the analysis, we used a narrative analysis and a thematic analysis. The intention was to build, to construct the story behind the creation of the cross-border destination from a multi-stakeholder approach. We tried to build up the story from the different stories of the different persons we interviewed. Then we used a thematic analysis to classify all the information. We came out with a large number of issues that we wanted to include, and then we aggregated this the number of issues into five different categories or factors that help or difficult the development of a cross-border destination in this area. The five factors that we identified are the ones you can see on the screen right now, which are cross-border institutional dissimilarity and similarity, the role of bridging actors and institutions, leadership and financing, types of relationships, and finally, serendipity. I will explain shortly some of the results for each of them. Regarding cross-border institutional dissimilarity and similarity, we identified three issues here, which are the ones you can see. Regarding identity, we acknowledged and identified that, especially from the Spanish Cerdanya side, there was a feeling that the French behave with a certain sense of superiority, and that didn't help in the development of a common identity in the area. But in terms of similarity, we also identified that there is a certain revival of the Catalan identity on the French side, which actually helps in this process to get closer in terms of identity in this destination or in this zone area. In terms of function, there is a number of dissimilarities, like daily eating routines, taxis, and so on and so forth. But there is also one very clear similarity in terms of function in the case of the cross-border hospital that has been built in Puigcerdà and that gives service to the whole area and has been just built a few years ago and just opened very recently. Regarding organization, what we identified here is that the structures for tourism management were very very different in both sides of the border. They were not comparable, and that difficulted also the process. But also during the last 2-3 years, there has been a process of convergence of these structures, and nowadays both sides of the border has a much more similar organizational structure, which has also helped in the process. Regarding the role of bridging actors and institutions, one of the most important findings of our research was the role of the community of Libya as a neutral agent. It is probably very common to see neutral actors in this kind of processes, but it's not that common to see a whole community acting the role of a neutral actor in the process. And that is the case of Libya. Both the French and the Spanish see in Libya a neutral actor, and this has helped a lot in the process. And Libya has also led the process because they have acknowledged themselves as having this role. But besides the role of Libya as a whole community, there is a number of specific actors that have also helped a lot in the process, and we just mentioned a couple of examples here, specifically the case of a Libyan politician and a French business association representative that were actually two of the most important persons in this process, as has already been explained in the case in the article that constitutes the third article in the thesis. Regarding the third factor, which is leadership and financing, we have identified and acknowledged that the private sector always takes the lead. They always recognize opportunities, and they always move forward the first ones, but they always need, or probably in most cases, they need the public sector to finance and ensure the financing of the processes. So again, in our case, was this the case that the private sector started the processes and the public sector followed to ensure financing. We also recognize that not all the actors in the process have the same impetus, we could say, or the same importance. Actually, many of the actors remain passive in the process, and there are just a few of them that are actually active in the process, and the ones we call the actual champions of the process. And we recognize that these are the ones that should get most of the support in order to ensure these kind of processes elsewhere. Regarding the types of relationships, we have identified three kinds of relationships, which are business relationships, personal relationships, and issues related with power. Regarding business, we have recognized, we identified again, one business, which is Inter-Sardanya business. They were the first to start creating cross-border products back in the 80s. They started to put up products mixing accommodation in the Spanish side with ski resort in the French side. Regarding personal relationships, again, the Libyan politician and the French Business Association representative, they were friends. They were very close friends. And that is very important for the process, as we have seen in our case. And regarding power struggles, they may threaten these kind of processes. And in our case, at least, we found that both villages, Les Angles and Font Romeu, which are the most important tourism resorts in the French side, they actually were outsiders in our process. They have not been involved. But that was not enough to stop the process in our case. So there were power struggles, but in our case, they did not stop the process. And finally, we need to add serendipity as a concurrence of factors of questions that could not been foreseen in advance. For instance, the case of Font Romeu leaving the Cerdanya Comunité de Commune and asking to be included in the neighboring Capcir Comunité de Commune, that pulled the trigger, and that moved all the process, that pushed everything and moved everything. And nobody could expect that Font Romeu would leave the Cerdanya Comunité de Commune, so that was serendipity. Again, the organization of events, very important events in this process, like Welcome Winter and the Assise du Nordique. These two events were very important in the process, but again, nobody could expect what was going to happen in this, or even the organization of these events was a sort of a little serendipity. So, once we have said all this, I will try to wrap up the conclusions in two different sections, following the issues that have been covered in these three articles, and getting a little bit back again to the introduction and the research questions. There is two main issues I would like to highlight as conclusions. First of all, regarding the tourism destinations attributes, these new tourism zones or new tourism destinations attributes, limits, and effectiveness, we have contributed with a number of methodological issues. For instance, the mixture of the geographical information systems and the cluster analysis methods is one of the contributions, and also the contribution of first using distance in kilometers, but then modifying this distance in real distance in time between the attractions to ensure that this was more suitable of the consumption patterns of tourists. We have also identified a number of aspects of issues that are important for the creation of new tourism destinations. For instance, we have recognized the specificity, intensity, and variety of attractions. We have recognized that number of borders can actually be positive in these processes, the importance of population, and other questions. And finally, at least in our case, we have shown the effectiveness of the new tourism zones compared to the administrative regions. And moving to the second section of conclusions, and regarding to the emergence of the governance structures and the role of stakeholders in cross-border regions, we have identified a number of questions. I just explained a little bit in the case of the Cerdanya Valley, and I will get through very quickly again. There is a number of cross-border institutional similarities and dissimilarities we just mentioned. There is a number of neutral actors that have the role of bridging over the border and helping in creation of these new tourism destinations. We have identified that private sector is always taking the lead. They are the natural leaders in our process, and they always need a public sector to ensure finance. The active players in the process are actually the real champions of the process. They always are a few of them. They are not all the actors involved. There is a number of business and personal relationships we identified in the case specifically of the Libyan politician and the French representative, business representative. And we added also, as a last factor, the serendipity as a concurrence of issues that cannot be foreseen in advance and that also influence in this process, positively or negatively. So, to conclude with this last slide, future research can take different directions. The first thing we think we should do is to compare these results with the actual behavior of tourists in these tourism zones. This still remains under to be done. It would be very interesting to see if tourists actually consider these tourism zones for their tourism activities and their vacations. We also think that we can move from the hub-and-spoke pattern to a more multi-destination pattern. This was an exercise we explored in the first article, but we think this can be done much more in deep, because we strongly think that the hub-and-spoke tourism zones can be actually considered and be seen as a stage in a multi-destination travel or trip. And finally, there is a number of issues related with the destination governance and management that challenges at the local level in cross-border context, and this can be also, all this knowledge can be also used to compare the results we have just shown elsewhere in other cross-border regions with similar nature. So this was the presentation. Thank you very much for your attention.